This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So we had Brett Veach on the show yesterday, and of course he was very confident in Travis Kelce's return. He also acknowledged that Trey Smith is at the top of their priority list. And then
Not surprising.
Guy Nate Taylor from The Athletic was on his show, his podcast that he does, Only Weird Games, as well. And he is reporting that there is also growing optimism that the Chiefs are going to sign Trey Smith to a new 5-year deal. Now, the Prince have said like 5 for 105, 5 for 110, something in that range is what you're talking about.
Woo!
Look,
not cheap.
Trey Smith's an incredible guard in the NFL. He's going to become the highest paid guard. There's no denying that. I want to know still, though, like what's the, as I said yesterday, like what's the consequence of getting that deal done? One, I get it. You want to keep your interior of your offensive line intact. You don't want to replace your entire offensive line. And Brett Veach yesterday told us that that's the difference between the Bucs year. They felt like they had to redo the entire O-line then. This year, they don't need to do that. There's a couple of spots. And Trey Smith, are they a better football team, if we just make it simple? Are they a better football team with Trey Smith? Absolutely. Of course they are.
Yeah.
Are they a better football team 2 years from now with that dollar amount associated with them than what they could be elsewhere? That's what I think you have to answer. And does it mean that Joe Tooney's not getting an extension, or do you now have to extend them because of the dollar amount? That's what I don't know. But on the surface, if we're just saying in a poll question to Chiefs fans, do you want Trey Smith back? I imagine everybody just about would say yes.
I think a lot of it is, I feel like with fans, and I don't think everyone would say yes quite as fast as you think, because I think that there seems to be a division point with Trey Smith as a player amongst fans. I think there's a group of fans who think he is not as good as people make him seem, because I think there are parts of his game that are flawed, like a lot of players that are flawed, right? Because most players aren't robot Joe Tooney at left guard, who pretty much just do every conceivable thing right all the time. But I think that a huge chunk of his game, especially when you consider the fact that offensive line play, I think in the league is just bad. You kind of, if you can keep him, I get the benefit of doing it. But I still think that there's some sort of like avalanche effect. Like you got to be thinking a couple of steps ahead as far as Juwan Taylor or Tooney and replacing those guys and eventually replacing those guys cheap and everything else that kind of comes with that assignment. Because otherwise, what are you doing? Because I'll say Trey Smith is actually kind of a good test for why offensive line play is bad. If the Chiefs said, we don't want you, Trey, how many different teams have we said would love to sign Trey Smith to the exact same deal the Chiefs are thinking about? The Titans, the Patriots, the Bears. I can list 5 or 6 teams right now who, when they put up their little like dream free agent wish list, Trey Smith was at the top of it. That tells you how bad offensive line play is. He's a really good player, but every single team would sign him to the same deal. That's why I don't think it's a bad deal if they give him a 5-year, $100 million.
Yeah, is he worth the dollar amount? That's what the market tells us he's worth, and so that's the going rate for the best guard or one of the best guards in football. It's just more of, does that prevent you from doing other things? I think it's pretty telling if they end up getting a deal done also, and their belief of being able to find a free agent left tackle. To me, I could be way off here because the cap went up. But
they're like, I'm not going to solve all
but my problems. I wonder if they bring back Trey Smith, does it tell us that they don't think there's a free agent? Like, is it, they're not going to spend free agent money really on a left tackle. That's either going to have to be in the draft, which you and I think if it's in the draft, it needs to be trading up. Or is it going to be kind of a 1 year stopgap, and like, I don't know how confident people will feel. It's a DJ Humphreys path, and they truly believe that a whole offseason is going to be good enough for him. I'll tell you, would I rather have, you know, it's weird financially, even though Ronnie Stanley's a better football player throughout his career, would I rather give Ronnie Stanley multiple years and a lot of money for a guy that finally had a healthy year? Or would I want DJ Humphreys on a nothing burger type of deal? There's part of me that's willing to roll the dice a little. You're like, that's crazy. We just saw what happened, Alex. But man, I'm not sold on Ronnie Stanley, I guess is what I'm saying, in free agency. And if you pay Trey Smith, I wonder if that prevents you from paying a decent sized contract to a left tackle.
They're not. I don't see any world in which they pay Trey Smith and then pay a free agent left tackle. They would then have a high priced left guard, high priced center, high priced right guard, high priced right tackle, and now they're going to go out and spend left tackle money? Yeah, I don't think so. I think the idea behind one, you do buy yourself years. Trey Smith buys you years down the road. His big number, I said the same thing about Tooney, and it applies to Juwan Taylor. Trey Smith's big number wouldn't occur until somebody else on the offensive line is gone, whether that either be Juwan Taylor or be Joe Tooney.
True.
So if you bring in Trey Smith, you at least buy yourself a couple of years to get one of those numbers off the books so that you don't have to pay him down the road. And so like that does, I think there's more flexibility than you think, but you can't have five offensive linemen all on like free agent deals, essentially, well, you know,
it's bad roster construction at that point. And it's not, and I don't think it'll end up being that. And obviously Creed Humphrey was a homegrown guy. And so is Trey Smith. Both were drafted by this organization. And you're right. Juwan Taylor, we basically know, has 1 year left. This will be the final year for Juwan Taylor, assuming he's still playing right tackle this year. It'll be the final year, and it's a big cap hit. But Trey Smith wants to be in Kansas City. We know that. And so financially, from a dollar perspective, you know, I think the hometown discount stuff gets way overblown. But is he willing to work with him on a structure? That's where I think you get the advantage, right? You're not going to convince him to take way less money than what he can get on the open market for a guy that's been a six rounder that by NFL standards has not made any money. But is he willing to be flexible in how it's structured to help you out to what you're saying? Hey, a year from now, 2 years from now kind of thing. That's where I think you get the luxury of having someone that you have a good relationship with. So if they give a dollar amount that meets the market standard that he can get out there, that's one thing. I think what you would notice is maybe the structure is friendly to Kansas City to allow them to do what you're discussing.
And that's as close to team friendly as you get when you're on the open market for that. We've made it, and I think everyone's made it clear, Trey Smith wants to be in Kansas City.
Yes.
He likes being here. His best friend's in Kansas City. He gets to play for the best team in the league. He gets to play for the best quarterback in the league. Like, there's a lot of benefits to being a player here where you're comfortable with your surroundings. You're comfortable with the organization. They took the chance on you. You're going to win and compete in every year you're here. But, like, the discount could just be like, hey, can we give you a little less signing bonus than the team would give you, but you're going to get that money somewhere, and can we maneuver it? Like, that to me is being team friendly, not the average annual per year. He'll still be the highest average annual per year of any guard in NFL history.
If I play devil's advocate for a second, do you think that, like, do you truly believe they're close? They're growing optimism? Or is this all,
I think it's 50-50.
Or is this a, hey, we're going to show that we did everything possible to keep him, and man, it just didn't work. We wanted him. It just didn't work out. And all of a sudden, we find out on day one of league year or legal tampering that he still ends up signing somewhere elsewhere. I think that's still a possibility, because yesterday Brett Veach talked about Kingsley, Suamataia, and the guard, the potentially being a guard in the future, and just like the coaching staff is confident he can be a guard. If you bring back Trey Smith and Joe Tooney, unless you let him play out the final year of his deal, which they could, then you are saying Kingsley is not going to have any starting position for you till at least year three.
Mm-hmm. Well,
then I mean, the pick. I know it's a second round or not a first round pick, but boy, oh boy.
That I'll say though, that doesn't seem that far of a stretch. He got in like three games, and then they benched him, and then they never brought him back in a game after that. So it's not like, it's not wild to me. It's pretty believable to think that Kingsley Suamataia might not be the goods. Part of the reason I think it's the truth, that they're actually...
The Chiefs might have the highest paid pair of guards in football if they go with Tooney and Trey Smith next year.
I think so.
I'm saying.
But I, the reason why I think there's a lot of truth to the rumor, not just because Nate Taylor said it, an empirically honest person who has very good sources. is because both free agency and the draft stink in offensive line. You can't rebuild 2 to 3 spots in free agency this year. You just can't. And I get it. You're like, well, really only 2, right? Because Taylor for a year, but you want to start working ahead on that in the draft. If you can, but you can't. Guard, maybe Kingsley's part of the future plan there. Okay, you don't have to worry about center. You do have to worry about left tackle. Because the options are limited and your offensive line already had struggles, I get the appeal of saying, like, well, in a year where there are no good offensive linemen in the free agency class, Trey Smith is the cream of the free agency crop as it relates to offensive linemen. And in a year where most people who follow the draft, including our guy like Jay Binkley, say it's not a good year for offensive linemen, I could see how you get squeezed into being like, you know what? We should pay Trey. There were 17 guards that looked like they were going to go in the first 3 rounds of this upcoming draft. They probably don't pay Trey. You know?
I think it would be a mistake, though, to then also give an extension to Joe Tooney, though.
I
on
agree.
Top of it.
I wouldn't do both simultaneously.
I haven't looked across the league, but I'm willing. I feel fairly confident saying if it's not the highest, it would be a top 3 in terms of what you'd be paying your guards in football. You'd have the highest, the largest contract in NFL.
Tony's number has been coming down.
It has. But the combination of what the Trey Smith deal would look like, and then if you gave a new deal to Joe Tooney, that's way too much for guards. I'm sorry, like just in terms of positional value. It's fine on the Trey Smith thing. I just think if they're willing to do the extension for Trey Smith, then they have to tell themselves that we got 1 year left of Joe Tooney, and that's it.
I'm just going back through because, again, how far down now is Juwan Taylor on the average annual department?
He's down to like a 12th, 13th, right? So, I mean, now he's paid appropriately. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He is 15th. So, Juwan Taylor is officially paid what he should be paid, right?
Wow.
Roughly?
Wow.
He's paid like average left tackle, and he's a league average left tackle?
The overall contract, yes, but not the $27.3 million cap hit this year. Yes, you're sure. Right on the average salary now, but this year, Juwan Taylor is a $27.3 million cap hit.
To the final.
And there is nothing they could do about it. Last March, it became guaranteed. There's no out until after this year. If they don't like how things go this year, I think it's very likely they move on with a $7.3 million dead cap hit.
I'm just like
he's $27 million next year as well, but they can still get out of that.
Like, I'm trying to look through the other offensive lines and look through the other teams in the league. And yeah, they would be one of the higher ones. But if you look at like the Eagles, they have 3 players in the top 18 in highest paid average annual salary at the offensive line position. Mailata, whose big number hasn't kicked in yet, Landon Dickerson and Lane Johnson all rank in the top 18, like just one spot behind Juwan Taylor. Actually, the same money as Juwan Taylor. He's tied with Juwan Taylor, average annual. So they got 3 guys making Juwan Taylor money or more. So is it unconventional to do that at guard? Because 2 of the guys I just mentioned to you, to the Eagles, are tackles, not guards. I'd say it is. I'm just saying, like, they don't have another choice. The left tackle market stinks. You have to go back into the draft. Same thing applies. I think the Chiefs kind of have to trade up. Unless they're just going to do another year of DJ Humphreys and their forward scouting tells them, oh, there's a lot of good left tackles next year. Let's actually trade back in the draft this year. Acquire picks.
I think it's a possibility.
Things are going to help us move up in the draft next year. We're going to do 1 year of DJ Humphreys or 1 year of any other random vet we can find on the street. And we're going to do this again, sadly. And we're going to ensure the future of our offensive line is good except left tackle. And then we'll solve that then. But then you might be solving left and right. You wait a year, you might be looking for a left and a right tackle. That's tough living, right?
No question. I this is where you wonder what's the big move? Is there something that's coming that none of us know about right now? You know, we asked Brett Veach yesterday, like the big swings they've taken when they've had, you know, devastating losses before, whether it was the Bucs Super Bowl, whether it was an AFC title game loss, they traded Tyreek Hill. Is there kind of a surprise bold move, trade or otherwise, that's going to happen this offseason? And it might just simply be trading up in the draft. I don't know. But that's something that I still always wonder if it's out there. Brett Veach at this point in time, I think, has proven that he's willing to take that bold move into an offseason and make that bold move, I should say, into an offseason.